Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I want to thank you for joining me today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on a message that I've entitled Walking in the Truth. And as I've shared before, that this is not an easy message to preach or to hear, as it's very much human nature that we just want to hear about good things. We want to hear about the blessings of the Lord, about God's grace, about His goodness. And while those are wonderful things to share, yet we need the whole counsel of God. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" And we know the Word defines what truth is. Thy Word, O Lord, is truth. And so as we look at the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We can't hide from the truth of the Word. We might attempt to do that. If we do that, we are deceived. And I've been bringing scriptures that demonstrate that it is possible even for a Christian to be deceived if he allows unrighteous thoughts, attitudes, and actions to be in his life. And the only way we can avoid any of these negative things, such as conceit, we're going to be looking at sanctimony today. Now, that's a big fancy word, which means to affect piety or to be seeming to be really religious, hypocritically devout. And this is something that the flesh loves to sort of exalt itself. You know, there are, I actually know people that have made comments that they just are very grateful. They didn't, you know, they've never smoked, they've never drank, they've never done all sorts of manner of horrible things that people in the world did. And yet, I've always sort of cringed when I've heard that, because there are none of us without sin. Someone might never have smoked a cigarette in their lives, but they could be the worst talebearers and gossipers in the city. And so, in fact, I remember Brother Glass, he was raised in a very religious upbringing, and, you know, the ladies had their hair up in buns and no makeup or jewelry, and he said they were they didn't need a telephone. If there was gossip, why, it would be around, everybody would know it in a just short matter of time. And so, beloved, what we think is appropriate or religious, that's not necessarily God's definition. And God's definition is what we find in the Word of God. And so let me now just share some things about this religious spirit, if you will, affecting piety, to be hypocritically devout, sanctimony. That's the fancy word, if you will. And here, the first scripture I'll share with you is 1 John 1:8. And here is the beloved disciple saying, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And, of course, we know the wicked, those who are unsaved, they walk in darkness. In Psalm 10, the wicked says in his heart, "I shall not be moved, for I shall never see adversity. God has forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it." And a wicked person feels that he is above adversity. And some other scriptures now found in Jeremiah, the 2nd chapter, verse 35, "Yet thou sayest," this is the Lord speaking, "because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me," or these are the people of God. "Behold," the Lord says, "I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned." Jeremiah 5:11-12 says, "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah," remember now, these are God's people, He brought them out of Egypt with a great and mighty hand. He bore with their strivings and their unbelief and their tempting of him in the wilderness for 40 years. He says to his people, the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And of course, you know, in the time of Jeremiah, all the false prophets were prophesying that. That's why Jeremiah had such a difficult time, because he preached things they didn't want to hear. And human nature has not changed. As I said, it's not easy to preach this, but it's something we all need to hear and receive. It's much more pleasant to preach about God's goodness and his blessings than about God's judging of our wicked ways. We cannot expect to have peace when we are self-deluded and in sin. There are some very stern warnings found in the Word of God, and I realize that we are under the new covenant, and yet the very character of God has not changed. There's plenty of scriptures I'm sharing with you out of the new covenant that indicate that we've got to have a right spirit before God. And this passage is the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I'll read verses 18 through 20. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in the book shall be upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate, this is verse 21, shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. Those are some pretty strong sayings. And yet, as I shared, the character of God has not changed. Thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the new covenant, a much better covenant based on better promises. Yet nonetheless, let no one be deceived. We cannot spurn the grace of God. We just can't live any old way we want and say, oh, well, the grace of God covers it. I'm under grace. Beloved, such a person is greatly self-deceived. And God is speaking today by his Spirit that he wants his people to walk in holiness, for he is holy. He wants us to walk in humility. He wants us to come out from among the things of the world, come out from among her, my people. He does not want us to be defiled by the ways of the world, the flesh, or the devil. He is separating us to himself. And if this makes you unhappy, this message, I'm sorry, but these aren't my words. This is what the Word of God says. Now, all right, you say, well, that's old Testament, that's old covenant. Well, let me share with you from 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to be reading the sixth chapter, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on to say in verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And when we are brought under the power of any, as Paul was referring to, there can be things that have become idols in our lives. Well, that's another subject. But the point is, we can be deceived. We're not to be deceived. Unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's a quote from 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. All right, well, we have found, as we've spent these several broadcasts, looking at attitudes of the self, our matters of self-esteem and conceit and sanctimony, areas that with the religious spirit we can deceive ourselves. We can think that we're above sin, that we're just, you don't have to be concerned about walking in the fear of the Lord. But there are other areas now that we also can be deceived, and that is in our attitudes toward material possessions. And there is, especially the gospel preached in this country, that if we're really walking with God, if we're in faith, if we're really truly blessed of the Lord, we will have material prosperity. I'm not talking now about meeting our needs, because God promises to do that, but we're talking about real prosperity. And that, beloved, does not mean spiritual prosperity. And you might say, well, Sister Glass, John says, you know, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, that's exactly true. But we need our soul prospering. And many cases, like old Israel, when they were waxen fat and blessed of God, they forgot the Lord. And if you want a New Testament scripture, there's Revelation 3:17. The Lord is rebuking the church of Laodicea, because thou sayest, Jesus says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's true spiritual poverty. Again, beloved, those aren't my words. Those are the words of Jesus. And he was speaking to a church that seemed to have it all together. They had everything that they needed. They didn't need anything. That's what they were saying. And yet, he did not see them or evaluate them in that way. And so, as I said, this is many things that should make us ponder and examine our own hearts. And we will continue to look at what the Word has to say in succeeding broadcasts. I thank you for joining me today. And if you have prayer needs, the announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. I may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.